This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Am I allowed to hijack things with a quick topic question for you? Or did you have something planned?
No, go ahead. Let's hear it. What do you got?
So the report's out today that Tennessee quarterback Nico Amalieva is not at spring practice, that he's holding out for a better contract. He's a college student.
Yep.
Enrolled at Tennessee.
Yep.
This is where we're at in the world of portal and NIL. Their quarterback is not practicing because he wants a new contract.
Yep.
A college student.
Yep. Ugh. So,
I mean, come on.
Here's the thing. This has become my new standard default position with college athletics. Is I pay attention to the games. Pay attention to the games. It is, and try not to be old guy yelling at clouds. And I've said for years that the old college dynamic that was set up, the one that we grew up with, if you take it, if anybody wanted to argue that the players should be paid, if anybody wanted to argue that you should be allowed to transfer, coaches can leave right away. Why do players have to sit out a year? Your arguments had merit. You could absolutely win that case in court. I would lose that case in court. But now that the players are paid, which, again, I have no issue with that. In fact, I think it's helped Big Ten schools because they can now do some things legally that others were doing and acknowledged and wink and laughed at illegally. It was a wink and a nod and ha-ha. But you know who doesn't like NIL? The Southeastern Conference doesn't like NIL. And when people bring up that they need to put some guardrails on it or they need to have a salary cap or they need to get it under control, whatever, I say just the opposite. The moment they do that, it gives the Southeastern Conference, I shouldn't be specific, it gives the schools that went blasting through rules in the past, something to, they can blast through again. And a lot of Big Ten schools have benefited from this. We talked about all the recruits at the end that flipped from SEC schools to Michigan. One flipped from SEC school to Michigan State. Like, and maybe it was more than that. I just remember the one running back, but it who was at Alabama commit flipped back to Michigan State. Like, that stuff didn't happen in the past. So I've kind of embraced the NIL thing. I do wish when a player committed to a school, the school and the player signed a contract for 1, 2, 3, or 4 years. I think it would be better for everybody. For the player, if the player wanted 4-year commitment from the coach, no matter how good or bad the player was, that player's got it. If that coach agrees to sign you a 4-year deal. If you want a 1-year deal, sign a 1-year deal.
Like, how much longer are we going to have to wait for that to happen? I mean, I get that there's a process that goes on. It's the NCAA is by the day becoming more and more impotent. You've got, you know, Congress is stepping in and trying to find out rules and baselines, and I guess the proposals that they're talking about seem like it's way the other direction.
Yep.
That they want to pay everybody the same And I think that seems odd and strange because that's just not going to work. I mean, they obviously need to find a better solution for this. And I agree with you. Having players that literally sign contracts to stay at an institution for a determined amount of time, I think makes all the sense in the world. There's a million things that have to go that get better for college athletics and the timing of portal openings and all that and coaches leaving and everything else. But when I hear that a player, this is the first we're hearing a player holding out.
Yeah.
And that it's a student athlete that's holding out.
We've had some variations of this. Like we've had players sue because schools didn't come through with the NIL money they promised.
Well, that's different.
Yep. That is different, but that's part of the one thing about college athletics is it's constant. It's a constant state of free agency, and the off seasons actually bleed into the seasons, which is absurd.
And to be fair to Amalieva at Tennessee, maybe that's what's going on here. Is they think, hey, you guys said if I came back for another year that I was going to get another whatever, you know, $1 million in NIL money, and you're not delivering on that. So until you do, and I have it in writing, I'm gonna sit on the sidelines and just stay in shape until you guys figure it out.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what's going on. But it's not a good look for college athletics because, as we know, college athletics are really just semi-pro athletics.
Yeah, I mean, Evan Reid read me something the other day when Fat Brooks announced the Michigan basketball player that he was leaving Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
He put a post on there about how much he loved Michigan. And I'm like, dude, these are business decisions. It's not...
Right, don't tell me how much you love the place that you're leaving while you're walking out the door.
But both things can be true. You can be, but you have a chance to better your family somewhere else and get a bigger NIL deal. That's the world we're in now.
And yeah, but it's being said with... This is the constant refrain that comes up with it. With that being said, I've decided to, you know...
I'm going to make a business decision.
Yeah, just... Come on and say that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care what you say. You put it however you want.
Yeah.
It's just, these are all, they're business decisions, and, you know, young people have every right to make business decisions.
We lose this
in a court of law. Look, it's just harder to be a fan. That's
all. You said it right. I don't want to be old man yelling at clouds, and I know it's going to come off that way. And what I'd really like is just for it to be a smoother behind the scenes transition rather than things going out in public in the Twitter war or whatever. And you're finding these things out. I wish that universities weren't as corrupt when it comes to stuff like this, or that maybe players weren't as greedy when it comes to stuff like this, that there's a happy medium and stuff just gets done in a timely fashion, in a tidy fashion, but that's probably wishing too much.
Well, I mean, the contract thing is something that I would put in place. I'll tell you what's probably slowing down dramatically that we will not see. I think we've probably seen our last waterfall in a football facility's atrium. Because the arms race is being replaced by the dollars to pay players race. And the facilities arm race, if you will. Hey, it's cool those that got them in where they could, but you might be going to a football facility. Now you might have to actually go play where there's not a barbershop in the locker room. You know, I mean, some of the amenities that they were trying to entice players with are now, it's just straight cash, homie. And it is what it is. And, I hope that I'm right, Gator, that the Big Ten schools will benefit greatly from NIL. There's a lot of Big Ten schools that pump out a lot of incredibly successful graduates, including the two schools in state, but it's, and those successful graduates can support the program through legal means.
Well, there's some monster alumni bases in the Big Ten.
Yep.
And that's the difference.
So anyway.
So sorry about derailing things.
It's okay. No, I mean, it's a player not showing up to practice over a contract dispute it's the real world, right? 248-539-9797. All right, Gator. There's nothing like a good position switch to reinvigorate somebody. Could this new position for this player turn this Detroit athlete into an asset? We'll get to that today. At 116 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. We made it to the weekend. The best way to kick it off is at your favorite Twin Peaks. Gather up the squad and head to your local lodge. Start the party off right. They've got the action-packed sports weekend in store for you. Golf in Augusta. That's kicking off. The basketball, Detroit basketball, hockey, baseball, UFC 314. Why go to Twin Peaks? Well, that's easy. They boast the best game day atmosphere outside of being at the actual game. Their draft beer system pours your favorite drafts at a teeth-chattering 29 degrees into a mug that's been freezing for at least 3 hours, and it's been only used once that day. Couldn't imagine a better way to enjoy the beer of the month, Bell's Oberon, and they boast an extensive bar with all your favorite bourbons and tequilas, as well as handcrafted cocktails to rival any speakeasy. Now pair that with a scratch kitchen that serves up dishes like hand-cut New York strips, hand-breaded and fried to order boneless wings and tenders, salmon, trout, the smashed and seared burgers. What takes it to the next level, of course, is the beautiful Twin Peaks girls serving it all up. Talk about the ultimate man cave. Twin Peaks eats, drinks, scenic views. Did you see what happened in Toledo last night?
I saw that Cater Montero threw a no hits through 5 2/3, and yeah. Toledo won it 1-0, I believe.
Yeah,
was it a complete no hitter?
No, he didn't throw a complete game.
No, I know he didn't. Did Toledo combine a no hitter? I didn't.
Oh, it wasn't a no hitter. Okay, no. Yeah,
they won 1-0, I think.
Yeah, somebody came in out of the bullpen for the first time and dominated.
Well, maybe there's a role for him.
That somebody's Matt Manning. 3 innings, 3 hits, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. He's hitting 96. Had an interesting exchange late in the game where he fell behind 2-0, battled back to make it 2-2 with the tying run at third base and one out. I think it was one out. He throws a sweeper high in the zone called strike three. At Triple A, they can challenge it. And they did, and it got overturned. Now it's 3-2. He threw the same pitch, strike three. Same pitch.
The guy swung at it?
I believe he swung at it and missed high in the zone. So, hey, they repurposed Bo Brisky.
Yes.
Manning has always been physically gifted. It's, I think, one time out of the bullpen is all we need. I say facetiously. It's just something worth thinking about is maybe Matt Manning could be repurposed as a bullpen arm.
Well, he got lit up his first couple starts at Toledo.
Yeah.
He got lit up in the spring. And this was a guy who was going to compete for one of those final rotation spots with the Tigers and obviously didn't grab it. The others did. I mean, there's no question that Casey Mize grabbed one of those spots. You knew the first three were going to be there. And then because Cobb's injury, that left open a possibility it's going to be Jackson Jobe or not.
Yep.
And Jackson Jobe earned it too. So the Tigers are fine. What does it mean for guys like Matt Manning, who is just struggling to gain his footing back into the major leagues? You're going to have to reinvent yourself in some cases, and I hope he does because he does have talent. There's no question he's got talent. But some guys can absolutely find a resurgence when they get moved to the bullpen. But it depends how you go about it mentally. Can you accept it or not?
Yep.
And you know, you think about it, there's a lot of upside with being moved if you're a former starter to the bullpen because you're not asked to pitch 5 or 6 innings at a time. You're asked to get 3 guys out or 6 guys out if you're going to go 2 innings or whatever. And meaning you can throw the ball harder because you're not having to put it in reserve as much. So we'll see how this works out.
It's interesting. It's interesting to see if that could work in his benefit. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Jeremy in Detroit. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, what up, boys? How you guys doing?
All right.
What's up?
Good, man. I was just commenting on what Gator was talking about with the NIL stuff and that player sitting out. Look, I think I'm glad to see more of the power switched over to the players as opposed to the institutions. These institutions became billion-dollar companies. Fans have gotten tons of joy off the blood, sweat, and tears and backs of kids that were very, very, in most cases, underappreciated, undercompensated for what they did. It's too many, and I've seen 24, 25-year-old kids that can't even get a job as a fireman or a police officer because they blew their knees out playing college football and without getting any real compensation for it. So, yes, I think it's taken a turn more towards the players having power, but I think it's a good turn as compared to the other side of it. As fans, as, you know, yes, of course, we want to just watch the games and we want to root for our teams. But I think sometimes we get short-sighted and fail to realize, like I said, for 20, 30, 40 years, like these schools and companies basically have grown into billion-dollar organizations, and kids had no power and no recourse for so long. I'm not going to complain now because for the first time, I mean, kids have a little power, a little control, and they're wielding it. And
there's nothing like wrong. Jeremy, there's absolutely nothing wrong with what you're saying and how you feel. Understand that there's a whole set of people that don't like it. But to me, it's more about, as a fan, I think the thing about the old system that I'm going to miss the most is building relationships with your roster and getting to know guys and watching them develop for years. And you would get a guy that would come to your school and you knew you had him and you got to know him. Now, the opposite of that is restricting him in ways that were probably unfair, as you have pointed out. Mm-hmm. But the downside to it as a fan, that's something that I am going to miss.
I agree with you. And I actually, as a fan, I feel the same way. But as a person,
yeah, there's no.
And this is just from a place of empathy. I don't have anybody that's played or anything like that. But I just feel like, once again, I feel dirty sometimes. You say build a relationship, but after that 4 years, we throw these people in the trash. If they don't make the NFL, we don't care about them.
Now, Jeremy, I guess I would say that after 4 years, you would hope that they have a degree and not get, quote unquote, thrown in the trash.
Yeah, that's the thing that gets lost in the shuffle here, is that the education that you get, if you take advantage of it, is massive. Because if you're on scholarship, that gets paid. And those that are parents that are paying their way for their kids to go to school, and when you're looking at $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year for them to go to school, that's not chump change.
And I'm hearing my man say they got virtually nothing for it. I'm like, that check I'm writing didn't feel like nothing. But was there a disproportionate amount of not enough given to players?
You could absolutely make that argument. Yeah.
So is there a middle ground somewhere? There is. I think the contract thing.
I like the contract idea.
Yeah, and the first I heard that from was from Gundy. Mike Gundy, the coach at Oklahoma State.
Yeah, and it has to be honored both ways. I mean, universities have to step up to it, and the player has to honor it, and it's got to be ironclad. And like, oh, here you are. You're here for 2 years.
Yep. And we'll revisit it in 2 years.
And
you can't transfer, and we can't cut you.
Yeah. And here's the game. And any NIL deal that you're signing, now that all schools have an NIL person in charge of it, you know, all that stuff is ironed out. So you know that you're going to get a certain amount of money.
What they probably need, if they do need regulation, they probably need some monitoring of is their work being done for the money. If you're doing a name
for the spirit of what NIL is.
Yes. If I am signing a deal with the Mike Morris law firm and I'm a running back from Michigan and a defensive back from Michigan State, did we actually do the TV commercial? And we know that they did.
Right. Yes. Correct.
Michael in Southfield. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Thank you.
Good. With paying a student athlete from this standpoint, one of the last things you guys said before you broke to commercial was that basically college ball is now semi-pro. The caliber, I agree, is that. But the problem is, what about the guy who's there at Ohio State or Clemson or wherever? SEC, it doesn't matter what division. You went really just to play ball because you love the game, and you're not going to go pro. There's got to be a percentage. There must be some known percentage of how many college football players go on into the NFL. And what about the percentage of the other half of those, or third, or whatever
imagine.
It is?
I mean, I don't know what the number is, but what do you think, Doug? 75% don't go to the NFL?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's,
right,
it's
so a my massive point, percentage. That's great. That's my point. 75% of your guys are held hostage by a prima donna quarterback that won't practice because he's not getting millions of dollars for his NIL. And that, to me, would really be bizarre. Well, and I would become very resentful of that.
Well, I know they're being held hostage. Yeah. I mean, Tennessee is still going to field the team in the fall, whether or not Nico Amalieva is the quarterback.
So here's the thing. And I don't cover Texas A&M, but Texas A&M, early in the NIL world, came out and was lapping the field and paying players.
Yeah, they came in the hot.
And what happened was, word was, and I don't, this stands to reason that there could be truth to this, but word was there was infighting in the locker room brought on by NIL deals. And there were people calling the coaches and saying, I paid this guy because you wanted him and you're not playing him. So I have this NIL investment and you're not playing him. Like people who helped purchase the player were upset that their player isn't getting the name recognition, so they're not getting a bang for their buck. And it didn't really work. There are challenges in terms of stuff in the locker room. And it's, I mean, you think about being a college coach now, what you're constantly doing is smoothing out stuff like that, making sure your players are getting what they were promised, making sure that you're constantly recruiting your own roster. Nick Saban left because he was sick of recruiting his own roster. I remember when Sharon Moore first took over at Michigan, I met with him like 3 months in and I said, how's it going? He goes, I'm just recruiting my own guys. Trying to keep, you got to keep your roster together. It's why spring games aren't on TV or being played at all.
You know, it goes back to like the contract thing you guys were talking about. I think that sounds like a good idea, but I'm not even sure the universities want it. For example, you recruit a guy to come to your university and you give him a 2-year contract, right?
Yep.
He comes in, hey, you're staying here for 2 years. We won't cut you in 2 years. After the first year, you don't play that kid much. He's a freshman. He just didn't get it, pick it up quick enough. You go out and recruit someone even better, okay? Yeah. That guy is going to play over that guy again. Now, that guy's stuck for you with 2 years. By the way, you don't even want him anymore, so you want him out anyways.
Yeah, that's the give and take. Yeah. Though. You have to agree. Like, the school has to say, I think you're going to play. And if I'm wrong and I sign you to a 2 or 3 year contract, I will honor that. But you in turn can't transfer out and can't go pro.
No, I understand that. But Doug, but you're also asking them not to go recruit Arch Manning after you have Quinn Ewers. They're going to keep doing it.
No, I'm not. The schools have to give something up and the player has to give something up. It's a two-way street. Yes, the school has to commit to you even if you suck. I mean, and that's what
they'll commit to him. But they're still going to go find his replacement while he's still there.
Of course.
And play, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I
don't we understand all that.
Don't think it would even work in that route.
Well, it might work. It might work to the school's benefit. Guy might be good enough to go pro after 1 year, but he signed a 2-year contract. Or the guy might be getting schools to try and recruit him, and he can't leave. He can't transfer. For a bigger NIL package because he's got a 2-year contract. Like, so there's
the other thing,
school could be gaining something as well.
The other thing they're considering, or that I've heard of as a topic of consideration anyway, is buyouts.
What do you mean?
That if the kid wants to jump ship and go to another school, that school will buy out the player from his current NIL deal at another university.
Well, I would have to imagine that they can't possibly offer less to get a player.
Well, right, but I'm saying that it'd be much like if you want to poach a coach from somebody else, if you're gonna, and he's still under contract, there's a buyout.
Yeah,
same thing goes to the players.
I'm sure that every player that is tempted to leave, or is saying, you got to top my NIL deal.
Well, yeah,
you have to.
Well, A, you have to top the NIL deal, and the other thing is that I come with a $300,000 price tag of a buyout.
All right, latest NFL draft buzz. We'll get to that today at 1:32. Hey, swing into the biggest golf event of the year with FanDuel, where every putt and drive can bring you closer to victory, because right now all customers can get a profit boost every round of the first major. Boost your winnings on anything from outright winners to round leaders to tournament matchups and so much more. So, for instance, Justin Rose was up a few strokes today going into play. You could bet on him to be the leader after today, and that's okay. That's not much of a return. Well, with the profit boost, it can make it a little bit more worth your while. So maybe you want to bet the favorites a little bit more. FanDuel is your go-to for betting on Augusta. Tee off with a variety of bet types. You can live bet as a tournament drama unfolds. Don't wait. Visit FanDuel.com/Doug to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, and swing for some green at Augusta. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. The opt-in is required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including any token expiration and maximum wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Gator, inside of 2 weeks to something called the National Football League Draft. It is something that used to dominate the airwaves from 10 to 2 on 97.1 The Ticket. not as much anymore because we've got competitive teams, competitive NBA team, competitive Tiger team. we've got a team in the Frozen Four. Yeah, we do. Sure, let's all co-opt Western Michigan. Why not? And we got a football team that was playing playoff games rather than preparing for the draft, which is awesome. But ESPN put out a story, latest buzz. It's the latest buzz. So three of their writers, Matt Miller, Jordan Reed, and Field Yates, were asked a bunch of questions.
Okay.
One of them was, which player are you hearing is having a late surge up teams' boards? Okay.
All right. This is the era. This is the time where lots of misinformation out there.
Yes.
Just to put that in perspective.
Or very accurate and telling inside information.
Yep. All right.
Okay.
Take it all with a grain of salt.
Okay. So which players are charging up, rising up draft boards? And I'm going to give you the three names. Mm-hmm. They each answered. And would we have interest in any of these three?
Okay.
Because for me, it's yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think so. And no. From Jordan Reed, Iowa State cornerback Darian Porter ran a 4.3 40, had a standout performance at the combine, and the biggest knock on him was he only played two seasons of defense. I guess he has stood out enough that he is rising up draft boards.
Well, you're going to stand out when you run literally a 4.3 oh,
yeah,
40-yard dash, and on top of that you're 6'2", nearly 6'3", and 195 pounds. So that I can see him rising up, and I have seen him rise up draft boards. Initially thought of as being like a middle round pick. Maybe this guy moves up to the second or third round.
Mm-hmm. So looking at this, I would say, would this possibly be on the Lions' radar? I think it could be. I think it could be.
Yeah, I could see that at the pick that they have in the at the end of the third round. I could see that. I don't know if they look that highly into it at 60, which is where they pick in the second round.
Yeah. Next, Field Yates, player rising up draft boards. Penn State safety Kevin Winston Jr. Would the Lions have interest? Well, he tore his ACL this past season. He's back and he ran the 40 and he ran reasonably fast for a safety.
4.51.
I had 4.46, but what the story says. But whatever. I'm not particularly interested, but it feels like the Lions are the type of team that will take chances on injured players.
That they are. And to come back, and if you've run a sub 4.5 40, all right, that's going to get lots of people's attention. Decent size, 6'1.5", 213 pounds. Lions have two pretty good safeties right now. It looks like they're going to extend the first of those two safeties because it's time to do so in Kirby Joseph. And I think this is interesting because the way that I view Brian Branch is he's a bit of a catch-all in the secondary. You can't just pin him down and say, oh, he's a free safety or a strong safety or a slot corner or wide corner. He's in the secondary. You can plug him in wherever you need to because he's that versatile.
Yep.
And frankly, I hope that he's a player that the Lions hang on to. And because of that versatility, that maybe because you're not pigeonholed in the one spot, that maybe the price isn't as high as what would be if you're locked into one position.
I think you just described something that makes the price higher.
It might. Well, I mean, he's a very valuable player, but I mean, if you're negotiating against him, if you're a GM, you're like, well, look, we can only offer you this. I mean, look, you're not.
If you're an agent, don't you say it's just the opposite?
Of course,
sir?
You do, and we'll see where it ends up. But I think I'd love to have him. Now, does this preclude the Lions from looking at a safety? No, I think the Lions should look at every player. It's a possibility. We talk about Nick Emmanuori, who's the freak with his athletic gifts. So should they be interested in Kevin Winston? Again, this is another guy who's got like a third round grade labeled on him, but sub 4.5 40s for a safety that big. It's interesting.
Okay. The other name, this is a guy who was considered a middle of the second round, sort of soft projection for him. And then he started to move up. He's considered too lean. And then he went to the Senior Bowl and killed it, showing up in everybody's first round, but moving higher and higher and higher, according to Matt Miller of ESPN. That name is Donovan Ezeraku, the edge rusher from Boston College. So, you know, we go through our draft prep, and I was early on Mike Green. You were early on Ezeraku.
Yeah, and both players have very similar numbers from the past season. What they did in terms of getting to the quarterback, they both did it quite often. I think 16.5 and 17 sacks between the two guys. And neither are particularly large when it comes to height. Ezeraku is 6'2.5". Mike Green is 6'3". So you don't look at that, your typical edge rusher being like 6'5 and 265 pounds or something like that. These guys are smaller, but they're also fresh out of college here. Mike Green's 250 pounds. Ezeraku is 248 pounds. So again, their speed is what gets them to the quarterback. And that's what's most interesting. With Ezeraku, what he did at the combine opened up a lot of people's eyes because you saw the production on tape for sure. But then you started getting into the RAS score and stuff like that, and you see how quick that first step is. That his, I don't know, was the cone drill or the 10-yard split. He was number one among all the edge rushers in that kind of metric. So it's really intriguing. How high is he going to rise? And I really hope that he's there for the Lions at 28. And there's a group of players I'd love to have. I think there's probably five players at least I'd love to have at 28 to choose from. But Ezeraku is definitely one of those guys.
Yeah, there will be. We'll find out how much merit there is to this. He'd be a guy that if he went 11th, I don't think we'd be shocked. I just chose 11th. I don't even know who's picking 11. But if he went way higher than being around for the Lions, I wouldn't be stunned.
I mean, you're right. Trying to think of those edge rushers there. Yeah, Abdul Carter is going to be gone in the first four picks. You know, Jalen Walker is probably gone in the first 10 picks. And then it becomes interesting. Shamar Stewart, Mike Green, Mykel Williams, Ezeraku, James Pierce. This is that whole group of guys. They're like, well, they all have interesting traits about them, which is the one. This is where you got to do your deep digs.
Yep. Okay. As we get closer, other things that these guys debated and talked about. Jordan Reed said, cornerback Will Johnson of Michigan and edge rusher Jalen Walker of Georgia are expected to have heavy turnouts at their private workouts on April 14th and 17th, respectively. The extent of what they do at those workouts, what they will do at those workouts is unclear, but scouts are eager to see both in action. Johnson's long speed has been a lingering question mark for scouts. He was viewed as a potential top five pick in the fall, but he missed the final six games of the season due to a toe injury and sat out Michigan's pro day. Despite that, he still may be a top five overall prospect and could go as high as number six to the Raiders. I think uncertainty about Johnson makes him a fall candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Question is how far? I saw a CBS mock last week that had Will Johnson going at 40.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. I mean, it's durability issues with him. That's the question. He'll answer questions about his speed when he gets a chance to. But I think
this pro day is big for him.
It is, but I mean, you can watch on tape and see it. I think what they want to see now is that are you healed? are you ready to roll because of that?
He is so good.
Walker is interesting because he's way undersized, but he had production.
Yep.
He had 10.5 sacks last season. I'm sorry, 6.5 sacks last season. 10.5 tackles for loss. And that's an improvement over the year before where he didn't start. He had 5 sacks the previous year and 5.5 tackles for loss. You know, you took a big bump the following season. But it's an undersized guy. You're talking about a guy who's, 6'1", I think? 243 pounds is what he's listed at. Young, 21 years old. Massive hands, but not a great wingspan. And yet he's thought of as, without a doubt, the number two edge rusher in the draft.
I think that this next player that we will get to at 148 is Detroit's third favorite at his position. But he's getting the most rave reviews.
Mm.
Should we be talking about him more? We'll get to that at 148. Here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, if you're looking to upgrade your outdoor space, Builders First Source has got you covered. They've got 4 Metro Detroit locations, and they specialize in top-quality composite decking with brands that you trust, brands like Trex and TimberTech and AZEK. So whether you're a DIY enthusiast or maybe you just need a certified installer, their expert team will help you build the perfect deck that's going to stand the test of time. Visit one of their locations today in Lapeer, Auburn Hills, Clinton Township, or Shelby Township and discover why Builders First Source is your go-to for decking. Quality, service, and unbeatable value, that's the Builders First Source promise. Search buildersfirstsource.com. Now, these Southern schools aren't happy about this, huh?
No, that's funny. Getting SEC texts right now. Called us the Northern Elite. Yeah. Okay. Maybe it's our turn now, huh? Maybe it's our turn in the NIL world. These Big Ten institutions, more million-dollar graduates, changing the dynamics of players and payments and college athletics. I tell you what, you want to really piss off the SEC?
Yeah, how do you do that?
You want us to really piss off? It's enough that we took CBS, we took the fight song, the college football song. That hurts. That scars them deep.
Does it?
My impression is that scars them deep. And you know, Gary Danielson leaving yesterday's conference and coming to today's conference, that scars them deep. But you want to really piss them off? We start taking their baseball players.
Oh. Wow. Yeah, that'll do it, right?
Everybody wants to play in the SEC.
Can LSU, Florida.
If the Big Ten started paying college baseball players, I think the SEC would
Mississippi State.
They would lose their stuff.
Yeah.
Let's go, alums. Wealthy alums, step up. Because it's already happening. Power dynamic shift in college football. Back-to-back national champs, stealing recruits from them. Couple that with take their baseball players.
Yeah, how's your hockey program, SEC?
Something tells me the baseball part's going to be harder with the human pods and the igloos you got to play with around here, okay?
Yeah, this is true. Hey, for families of spring sports kids, if you have games today, thank you, Mother Nature.
Oh.
Thank you, Mother Nature. I had to go outside 2 segments ago. It feels like it's 80.
Is it shorts weather, Doug?
No, but it feels like it's 80 compared to what we've had to sit through games the last couple of days. Today's going to be
for a nice long walk today.
There you go.
You bringing Lois?
Yeah, today I think we'll see how she handles the first part of the walk.
Well,
what's the first? What happens? Well, in the first
part? The thing. If she behaves through there's a point of no return. Like if I go for the long walk or the medium walk, there's a road I can go down that this is the medium walk. This is all you're getting today. Or if she's behaving, I continue down the road, bypass the right turn, and it ends up being the long walk. It adds another mile to the walk.
Okay. So I mentioned before the break, probably third on most fans' boards here in terms of this position. And we're just talking about where the Lions are picking. But he's creating more rave reviews, the most rave reviews I have heard, this is according to Matt Miller of ESPN, are for Ole Miss defensive tackle Walter Nolan. Ask the average Detroiter, 3 defensive tackles on the board, Derek Harmon, Kenneth Grant, Walter Nolan. I would say Walter Nolan will consistently rank 3rd. Detroiter, yeah. Michigan, Detroiter and Spartan, former Spartan, Michigan product, and Walter Nolan. And look, I think Harmon and Kenneth Grant are both elite prospects. I'm thrilled that they could be on the board for the Lions at 28, the way this draft board is falling.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, talk about a year to be picking 28 given their needs. Is Walter Nolan the best? He's creating the most buzz.
Well, he's another guy who has, depending on where you look, he's the highest rate of those 3.
Interesting.
So it's outside of Mason Graham, he's like the number 2 rated defensive tackle by a lot of different services. The knock on him, from what I can tell, is that people aren't sure about his effort and maturity all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't scream Detroit Lions.
No, it does not.
Because I don't think there's ever a question that when you're talking about effort, if you're talking effort, I mean, all you got to do is dial up the Michigan-Penn State game, right, to see Kenneth Grant in full force chasing down a running back. And you're like, well, there it is. That's an effort guy. You know, and you look at the film of Derek Harmon, you're going to come away wildly impressed. I imagine there's a lot of film people wildly impressed with what Nolan does. I mean, he had started his career at Texas A&M and then moved on to Ole Miss. 14 tackles for loss last season, 6.5 sacks as a defensive tackle. Also knocked down 3 passes. Passes defended, and those numbers were improved over the previous year significantly. 4 sacks last year, 8.5 tackles for loss, and 1 pass defended. So he's improved. He's a penetrating defensive tackle. All three of these guys are similar with what the resumes can do, so just varying degrees of size, really.
Yep. Yep. So probably Detroit, and I mean by Detroit, I mean us in the audience, would probably shade towards the two Big Ten guys. But here's a nice example of the SEC can still get it done. They still can produce some football players. They got one in the mix, too. I mean, you get past Mason Graham, who's the you know, acknowledged number one defensive tackle, and you go to two more Big Ten guys, and Harmon and Kenneth Grant, and then here's the SEC. Good for them. Yeah. It's good for them. It's good for them.
Something else, when I start doing a comparison here statistically with Kenneth Grant, it's not that he's got these great numbers for sack totals the last couple of years, but if you watch Michigan football, you see that he's a problem. You know that Mason Graham is a problem up there. I didn't realize this. Kenneth Grant had 6 pass defended in 2023 and 5 last season. That's 11 over the last 2 years for a defensive tackle. That's a lot of batting the ball down, but then again, he is a bigger individual at 6'3.5", 330 pounds is what he weighed in the combine, but probably played a little bit heavier than that when he was at Michigan.
Yeah, he's really talented, and so is Walter Nolan. I mean, Walter Nolan.
All three of these guys.
It would be great to get a player of that caliber.
There's going to be a historic run on defensive linemen in this first round.
Yep.
And if you talk to the scouts and, you know, guys that cover this and agents, there's going to be 52 first-round picks this year. No, there isn't. There only can be so many.
Right.
So some of these guys, a lot of these guys are going to fall to the second round, and that's just the way it is. So whether, you know, it's one of the defensive tackles you guys just mentioned, or, you know, someone who in the second year, Will Johnson, you mentioned.
Yeah.
There's going to be talent in the second round. The issue this year is the Lions pick so late in the second round.
Yeah.
That do they get aggressive and move up in the second round? We talk about the first round. What about the second round?
They could.
Right? The year that they thought, oh, Brian Branch, he's definitely a first-round pick. He wasn't even their first second-round pick. Sam Laporta was their first second-round pick. They passed on him originally. Brian Branch went to the draft. He thought he was going to be a first-round pick.
Yep. And, you know, he's incredibly, they're incredibly fortunate that he was still on the board for them in the second round. Glad that they made that identification and nabbed him. So, anyway, inside of 2 weeks ago for the National Football League draft, we welcome Enrico Beard, who has sauntered in the studio. Hello, sir.
Gentlemen, how are you guys doing?
We're good.
Doing just well.
We're good. What's up with you?
It is funny. At the NFL drafts in 2 weeks, amazing. Like last year at this time, it was just everywhere. That's all we talked about. And now it's like...
Well, draft was in town, yeah.
I literally had to look at the calendar, like, wait, is it next week or the weekend after?
Yeah, it was fun. That was really, really fun.
Last year, if you're going to a Tigers game, you start seeing City Detroit getting prepared for the draft. It was such a blast to have that here last year.
It was.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. Now it's going to be in Green Bay, but it's just kind of like, wow. Like, Lions fans, it's just there's really no buzz right now. Maybe next week.
It's nice that the draft isn't such a focus. Even for our show.
True.
What do you guys?
You guys would have had 32 drafts by now.
I know. We did Mock 1.0 yesterday, which is pretty amusing.
You guys are starting to get after it with mock drafts, too.
Yeah, we do once a week where we just kind of pick and choose certain players and certain things. So.
Yeah. What do you guys got playing coming up next?
We're going to continue the talk that you guys had about Nico Imavila.
Come on.
Hold on. I got it written down.
Yeah, but
phonetically, Imalivia.
No, come on,
Imalayava.
There you go.
There we go.
Well done. Well done.
Gonna continue that talk. And then Pistons. I mean, really, Knicks.
Dude.
Or would you rather face the Pacers? Because if you face the Knicks, you know. Probably shouldn't have did the alley.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, what'd you think of the lob? I mean, did you hear Rick Mahorn's call?
I did.
There's something that is so ironic that Rick Mahorn is telling them not to do it.
Because he knew, like, this is one of those, you can't go back. You know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
As I said, it's like, you know.
Unnecessary.
When you watch a kid get ready to do something stupid, and you're like, don't do it. Oh, and you did it. Okay.
There's going to be a consequence, but it could also make things a lot more fun.
Do I think that because they threw that lob, that means they're in trouble. No. Do I think if the Pistons draw the Knicks and the Knicks win the series, they will say it was because the Pistons threw the lob? Yes. I think they will say that it's because the Pistons threw the lob.
If the Knicks win the series? No, I think if the Knicks win the series, it's because the Knicks is just a better team.
Of course. I think they will say it's because they threw, they shouldn't have thrown that lob.
We didn't forget about that.
No, I forget that they threw that lob.
I think at that point in that game, the game that clinches, that's when you just see them go out and be a bunch of jerks.
Yeah. They'll start throwing lobs.
We're going to run the score up, and
Well, hopefully we don't have to worry about that. Yeah. Hey, tell you what. Have a great weekend. Have a great show. I would invite everyone to stay safe. I would invite everyone to treat each other with respect.
So I am a little heartbroken, Doug. I listened to your kids and how they didn't go to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
They didn't go to Washington. Is nice.
I've Dude, Washington's.
Did you take them out to the campus of East Lansing?
None of them. Well, you know, maybe the third. You know what? Maybe the third.
You
we'll
know
see.
What? I blame the father.
Go ahead. And go Broncos. Have a great weekend, everybody. 97.1.